The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Pleased to have with us again Mr. Jack Ablin. Jack is the Executive Vice President and Chief Investment Officer of BMO Private Bank. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
The macro strategy that you released yesterday, you mentioned that just under one-third of the companies reporting earnings results are coming better than expectation. Do you have a concern over the earnings capability of U.S. corporations now?
I do. I mean, you know, my focus, Mike, has really been more revenues just because, you know, I'm not a forensic accountant.
Right.
I tend to like to see top line because I know that if top line's working, the bottom line will fall in line with it. What we're seeing now, and what we've seen probably over the last couple of quarters, is improving earnings on lackluster revenue. And there's only so much, you know, lemonade you can make from these lemons. At some point, you know, we are going to need to see revenues ramp up. Now, the good news, I suppose, is that, you know, U.S. dollar is off a little bit as the Fed's rhetoric has ratcheted down some, and that should help our global competitiveness. But, you know, there's just not a lot of growth around right now.
Are stocks too expensive, Jack? I mean, that's a big question that's out there now that we're back to 18,000. Have they just gotten ahead of themselves?
I believe they have, but really, you know, it depends on your perspective on earnings. You know, right now, earnings the market's trading at around 18 times forward earnings. That historically, over the last two or three years, has really been that ceiling that we bounce off against. And there are a couple ways to correct that overvaluation. One, of course, is to just have prices pull back until we get a better sense of what earnings are. The other is to have earnings ramp up. The only concern I have is that analysts are expecting, you know, something like 9% earnings growth three quarters out, and I'm not sure, you know, we're going to get that number, especially considering that this quarter we're probably set to see a 9% decline. You know, unless, and I haven't, you know, drilled into it that much, but I would say that, yes, the oil recovery should help a lot, but, you know, it's the banks, it's financials, it's, you know, other areas of the market are pulling earnings down, too. In fact, I think there were only two sectors, healthcare and consumer discretionary, that actually posted or are expected to post positive earnings growth year over year this quarter. So this isn't an isolated energy story.
No, it's not. You know, one of the big things about the political climate right now is, and Donald Trump's success is the backlash against traditional politics in Washington, et cetera, et cetera. You know, every year in the late fall and then early spring, analysts and strategists and everybody trots out their expectations for GDP and the expectation for this, that, and the other for the year. And they're always very optimistic, and at least for the last several years, they've come in way, way wrong. Can we really trust, can the average consumer really trust what Wall Street's saying about expectations? Because they're always optimistic. Like you say, they're expecting a plus 9 when they're way off of that right now.
Well, you know, Mike, I've been a Wall Street customer for 30-something years, and I learned pretty early on that not to take, you know, Wall Street rhetoric at face value. I mean, there's always, you know, some motivation behind it. The fact is, you know, they're called sell side, and, you know, they're looking to sell stuff. So I think from that perspective, they always want to keep, you know, the glass half full, no matter what's going on. As recently as January, analysts, for example, were anticipating roughly a 2.5% profit growth for the first quarter. And of course, 3 months later, you know, they're down to minus 9%. So even just 3 months away, you know, these numbers are coming down. So, you know, to look out in the next year and project what is out there, I take with a, you know, pretty sizable grain of salt.
Okay, so do I. All right. Another area where there's always projections and anticipation is the Federal Reserve. And we've got, I guess, their latest release coming out in about 4.5 hours or so from now. What is your guess on what the Fed's going to do? And not just this, these next comments coming up, but you think they're going to raise interest rates again this year?
It's a tough call. You know, they're torn. I think they have a credibility issue, given that they originally thought they were going to raise rates 4 times and they knocked it down to 2. If they do, in fact, raise 2 times, then odds are that they're going to have to ratchet up rates in at their next meeting, I believe is in June, not this current one. Because once we get past the June period, then, perhaps they could be accused of injecting politics into policy, which is something, obviously, that the Fed is very, very sensitive to. On the other side, though, I believe that they're the ultimate market's babysitter. They want to make sure that markets continue to move higher and don't get upset, and they view volatility as a bad thing. And so they're going to be very cautious. So while the Fed says they're data dependent, I think in many respects they're market dependent.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what she does. Everything. No one has more anxious anticipation than those waiting for what the Fed has to say. Stay with us, Jack. We've got a couple more questions for you on the other side of the break, folks. Back in just a few moments, we've got Jack Ablin with us today. You're listening to Straight Talk Money, where we bring you the wisdom of Wall Street each and every day. Back in a moment.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We've got with us Mr. Jack Ablin. Jack is Executive Vice President and Chief Investment Officer of BMO Private Bank. And Jack, it's about that time, we generally historically have a decent spring. If we're going to have a good year at all, we're going to have it in the spring of the year. And then there's that old adage of go away in May and come back on St. Ledger's Day, I think is what they say in England. Is it for real, or is this just something that, one of those adages they like to throw out in Wall Street?
Well, you know what, Mike? Long-term history is for real. You can drive a truck, actually, through the differential in results if you separate the year into 2 6-month halves. In fact, we did that study because I wanted to see what this sell in May and go away thing is. And what we did was we went back to 1900 in the Dow, and we split the year into 2 6-month periods. So we did the May through October period, and then the November through April period, and split it up and said, okay, what if we only invested in those periods and then sat on the sidelines during the other periods and strung those returns together? And now this is price only. This does not include dividends, but it shouldn't matter because, again, they're just each 6-month periods. But if you take a price only return, start with $1,000 on that, just stringing together May through October, $1,000 since 1900 has accumulated to only $2,378 during that period. That's over 115 years has that thousand is more than doubled. If you take that same thousand and invest it in the November through April period and string it together, that has accumulated, that $1,000 has accumulated to $136,735.
Wow.
It's remarkable. Now, I will say from 1900 through 1955, those two return streams were almost identical. It was really in the mid-50s that we finally got that breakout where the November through April period just ran away with it, leaving the May through October period in the dust. So the question is, what happened? It could be tax returns. It could be something, it's obviously something seasonal. It could be seasonal adjustment of numbers. It's just really, really difficult to know. But even in most recent years, in any event, that May through October period seems to be somewhat disadvantaged. Last year certainly was no different. And so going into May this year with a market, you know, as we talked about, bumping up against that, you know, PE ceiling that we've got. We've got a you know, UK exit, Brexit vote in June. We've got other things going on in the summer. Perhaps, you know, with the election and everything else, perhaps this could be the year where, you know, you want to maybe take that adage to heart.
Yeah, so so if I understand things correctly, you are anticipating maybe a some weakness in the summer to maybe match up with what we saw at the beginning of the year.
Right. So another, you know, our view is, look, we're not, you know, we're not numerologists. I don't want to be, you know, a financial weatherman. We observe this seasonal pattern, and so we say, okay, you know, historically there's something going on. We can't exactly know what. But given that we've got a relatively expensive market, and it happens to be May, we're kind of putting that together saying, you know, if you have new cash to put in the market, you know, maybe you wait till sometime after May to put that in.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it was mobility that changed the market and a change in culture I think the baby boom generation was the first generation, at least our parents, that where the word vacation really came into to play, where families took vacations during the summer and did things like that. Because even now I notice that the traffic gets lighter in the cities during the summer as families have gone other places. And so I wonder whether or not just the fact that that's what happens during life, that might cause a change in the market environment and kind of support this go-away-in-May situation. But we'll take that to heart because I think that's really important. Now, the one thing that I find interesting that's going on right now, and I was wondering what your thoughts were on this, oil consistency seems to be putting in some new highs. In fact, today it's above 45 and Brent crude's above 46. Have we seen the bottom of the oil business, and could the rise in oil provide us a better summer environment than we might normally expect?
It could very well. I mean, one of the offsets here is certainly oil and its impact on earnings, and how, you know, already oil is up, you know, more than 50%, nearly double. I mean, if we can get if oil gets back into the 50s, we've got 100% return in oil from February. So that could go a long way to drive certainly drive earnings. I also believe, you know, if you look at the pattern in February, where, if you remember, you know, when oil got into the low, below 30 into the high 20s, I mean, it had sustained a barrage of bad news during the course of February, where finally at one point, and I think this was the bottom, when the Saudi oil minister came out and said, we're not going to cut production, we don't trust our production, you know, trading partners. At that point, oil was around 26, and it didn't go any lower. And the sense we had was, you know what, maybe this commodity's washed out, that anyone who was inclined to sell oil already has. The news certainly couldn't get any worse. It didn't drop below 26, and so maybe that was the base. And once that happened, then all of the, you know, more certainty surrounded the credit markets, because I think that was really the biggest risk, that oil was this transmission mechanism between the global economy and the credit markets, because the energy sector is so capital intensive and credit dependent. And once investors and once lenders felt that, you know what, this is a bottom, we finally know how low this is going to go, I think they felt much more comfortable getting back into the markets.
So are you comfortable with oil being where it is? Do you think we're moving higher here?
I don't know if we're moving higher. I mean, it's certainly it's obviously a supply story, you know, if supply doesn't go away as quickly as you know, people think. I mean, the fact is that companies can go bankrupt and their production is still, you know, the tap is still on, because
right,
they have
yeah.
to continue to pay their bills. So it's it is somewhat of a disconnect between what you're seeing in the credit markets and what you're seeing in the oil fields. But, you know, the rig count is off 70%. That would suggest anyway, you know, certainly no new production coming online anytime soon, and they probably want to wait. You know, for now, yeah, I would say I would be comfortable with oil here. I don't know. It would be hard for me to see it going substantially higher.
That's just higher.
Because these break-evens are about where we are right now.
Right. Is there any area that you really do like? We've got
sure.
less than a minute.
Actually,
what
commodities in general, I mean, you know, commodities have gotten so decimated over the last couple of years. And you know, it's hard to know if they're cheap or expensive, but you can track their technicals, and they did break out last month. So that could be interesting play. I mean, they're so beaten down. There's probably some upside in commodities. Emerging markets, which also goes hand in hand with commodities, same thing. I mean, this is actually a cheap market that's moving in the right direction.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a good place to be. And then within the U.S., while we're certainly disparaging these, you know, mega caps, mid caps look pretty good too, relatively
right.
speaking.
All right. Thank you, Jack. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Jack.
Thank you for being on with us again. Hey, have a great day, sir.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.